The opinions expressed in this program reflect only those of the participants and are not necessarily those of the sponsors, management, or staff of WTBQ Radio or FST Broadcasting Corporation. WTBQ.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to the Nonprofit Notebook for Hospice of Orange and Sullivan Counties. I'm your host, Janice Valentino. And you are listening on WTBQ, radio worth listening to. Well, I welcome you all this snowy morning, another snowy day, and I certainly hope we have our listeners tuning in. We have a lot to talk about today. So much going on in our healthcare, in our communities. It's important that we share the information that we all have, and it's important that we all communicate with each other. I have with me today Sandy Cassese. Sandy Cassese is our COO and Vice President of Hospice of Orange and Sullivan Counties, and there's really nobody who is really in tune to every aspect of what we do at hospice than Sandy. And everything else that's going on outside of hospice along the healthcare community. She is involved in a lot of different organizations and sits on a lot of boards. And so her knowledge is very valuable, not only to me and our organization, but to the community. And so I'm really thrilled always to have Sandy on with us. Good morning, Sandy. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good morning. And my goodness, thank you for that introduction. That was lovely. So, you know, I probably should mention to everybody that I'm a nurse. And if you know anything about nurses, we're educators, right? That's kind of how we grow up in our training. So, you know, I take no credit for any of the information that I'm going to share with folks today, but I do believe it's a really important public service to make sure, you know, that people understand what the landscape looks like currently. And Janice, if I may, I just would like to start today by saying this nonprofit notebook radio program has really been just such an incredible way of portraying exactly what we do in hospice to the community. But I want to focus on one episode in particular. If folks want to hear it, they can go to our archives at hospiceoforange.com. You'll see the not-for-profit notebook on the left-hand side of your screen. The program that you did on December 8th, Beauty in the Moments, when you told the hospice stories, is by far my favorite of all the episodes that you have done since you started this endeavor.
Well, thank you.
Well, I have to tell you, I learned something, which is exactly what we want to happen. But I think so many times, you know, what we miss, you know, when we talk about what hospice provides, it's that quality of life element. And so I think you just incredibly were able to get those points across. And I strongly encourage anybody who missed that to go to our website, hospiceoforange.com, and look for that December 8th just incredible broadcast. And I really commend you. I listened as if I were in my favorite college class. And
oh, my goodness. Well, I thank you very much. That was a very special show for me as well, and I'm really surprised that you brought this up because I had no idea you were going to say this. But you know, doing it by myself, I did it by myself as you know. Normally, I have a guest with me that, you know, we kind of work off of each other with getting all the information out. But at that time, I decided, you know, there are a lot of stories that I really felt needed to be told. And I, over my 13 years there at hospice, which I cannot believe it's been 13 years, but part of my position there has been to document these stories and to share these stories primarily through my writing. I do a lot of writing for hospice. And it's been just an amazing journey to be able to live these stories with the patients and families who share them.
Well, the stories, I think, are really
amazing.
I think they do justice to exactly what it is that hospice brings to the table. Every story is a little bit different, right? I think one of the things that I'm proudest of our hospice is that we're able to get every single family to a place where we understand what's most important for them as a family or a group of friends, or the most important, obviously, the patient themselves. And I think that's probably the essence of hospice, really, is customizing and personalizing the care, because there are no two stories that are alike.
This is very true.
There's incredible support out there for families and for patients to articulate what is most important. And I think you brought that moment home in your broadcast, and I really thank you for that.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. And I do, and you know, I do hope some people maybe that didn't listen to it before will go and listen, and they'll understand what it is that you and I are talking about. But one of the most important things, though, that I'm going to touch on that you'll probably then be able to take in the direction that you need to take it, is that many, many times our patients or families contact us very, very late in the prognosis. And when that happens, it is sometimes extremely difficult to allow the family to really experience every service and every interdisciplinary portion of the care that we offer. And so that, many, many times, will sometimes prevent the best quality that we would have wanted for them.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with that more. And, you know, I do have some hope. If there has been a silver lining in this whole COVID experience, it's been my experience that healthcare providers in our community are really stepping up to have critical conversations with families and with patients about the seriousness of their condition and what the options are. And so we have seen a huge uptick in our cases in patients that are enrolling on the program, which is very heartwarming, because, as you said, we want people to take full advantage of all of the services that are available to them.
Yes.
You've probably heard me say this a million times. If there's one quote that I quote most often, it's that families almost always say to us, their only regret is that they didn't call sooner. And
absolutely.
So, what I want to get across to your listeners right now is, you know, hospice is part of the continuum of care. It's not it's not what people sometimes envision it is. It's not giving up hope. It's not not taking care of symptoms and quality of life and group dynamics and family stories. And it's quite the opposite. So when our team comes in, unlike the teams that you find in a hospital setting or in a medical practice setting, we truly are interdisciplinary. So when your loved one or you come on the program, you have the benefit of a whole team of people who each have their area of expertise and work strongly together to make sure that we're meeting the plan of care that you, the patient, and you, the family, wish to have for your particular circumstance. So, you know, for some families, it may be, you know, they want to help their loved ones stay alive long enough to see their granddaughter married.
Right.
For other people, it could be there's unfinished business that they feel they need to take care of. For others, it's really just making the best of every single day. You know, I've told this story before, but we have patients who are on the program who are not bedbound. They're not, you know, in their homes. They are going out. They have quality of life. They're able to have, you know, lunch with family in a restaurant.
Yes, yes. People don't realize this.
Yeah, I think it's actually surprising to most people, because people equate hospice with those very last days of life. In fact, it's a benefit that, in general, your provider, your physician says, in their best judgment, you have a prognosis of 6 months or less. Now, we know that nobody knows any of that for absolute sure, right?
Right.
So we have patients that are on the program a year. We have patients that are on the program more than a year. We have patients who get on the program and actually do a little bit better and come off the program for a while. I guess the message is there is no one size fits all. It's really a group effort to determine how best to take care of each and every individual so that they get the best of our program.
Absolutely. That's it. And you couldn't have said it any clearer than that for people to really get a true understanding of what hospice care is about. And I have to say that in the last decade or so, I think more people are really starting to understand a little bit more, some a lot more, others just a little bit more. But we, our particular Hospice of Orange and Sullivan, we have just celebrated or come upon our 33rd anniversary of providing care in Orange and Sullivan County. We started in 1988. That's when we got our Medicare benefit and Medicare certified to provide this care. And now that we have provided this care for three decades plus, we are now seeing that we have provided generations of care.
That's amazing to me. So in some cases, we've actually provided care to three generations, which is, talk about privilege. We are the privileged ones. You know, our families come to know us. And what better way to let the community know that we're trusted than to let them know that there are generations of family who have allowed us into their lives, who have allowed us to provide this individualized, personalized care, and they come back. And I don't think there's a better endorsement, quite frankly.
No, there isn't. And what we also see is that as the generations do come, they are then coming sooner on the program because now they understand. And so that is what's allowing, I think, more people now to truly understand is because now the generations have experienced it, and they've experienced it in various ways. So it's really it's just something that is naturally progressing, which is a wonderful thing. But at the same time, as you mentioned in the beginning of the show, healthcare providers are also now starting to really talk about this continuum of care, plan of care, which can include hospice for many of their patients.
Well, you know, I think they see us as true partners. So, the referral very often comes from that medical provider. And we work together to look at those goals of care. Not everybody who comes onto our program has really fully digested their diagnosis, right? They may have been in active treatment. A cancer patient would be a good example. They've been receiving treatment for quite some time, and at some point it's determined that treatment is no longer working. We work with the physicians and with other health professionals to ease people into the program because the last thing we want to do is pull the rug out from people. And
absolutely.
I think that's an area that we actually really excel in. So we have an intake department that's comprised of registered nurses and intake staff. And this is one of the areas that I think sets us apart from many other hospices.
Absolutely.
We made a decision a few years ago that it was really, really important that we have that coordination between families, their provider, and us, so that nothing gets lost, right?
Yes, that's very true. We have really changed the way we do a lot of things. We will be back. You're listening to the Nonprofit Notebook.
Hospice of Orange and Sullivan Counties has provided specialized end-of-life care in our communities for over 30 years. Today, we encourage you to consider hospice as a career opportunity. Join us as we support patients and families with the highest quality end-of-life care. Careers at Hospice of Orange and Sullivan include RNs, LPNs, licensed home health aides, and administrative positions. We support our benefited employees with medical, dental, vision, flexible spending accounts, a company-funded health reimbursement plan, 403B retirement plan with robust paid time off, and sick days. A career with Hospice of Orange and Sullivan is a calling that will enhance your life as much as it does our patients and families. Please visit hospiceoforange.com or visit our Facebook page, Hospice of Orange and Sullivan, providing care, comfort, dignity, and respect. A new career awaits you at hospiceoforange.com.
This is attorney Bob Krahulik of the law firm Beatty & Krahulik, the lawyer guy. Tune in every Tuesday at 12 noon for the latest legal advice and tips. We're taking calls and giving answers to all your legal questions. That's every Tuesday at 12 noon on Radio Worth Listening to.
WTBQ.
Hi, welcome back. Dennis Valentino with the Nonprofit Notebook, and I'm on the phone with Sandy Cassesi. I just want to say to our listeners, if you have any questions, if you have any comments, really would love for you to give us a call. We're here to answer any questions or respond to anything that you feel you need to say. You can either call the studio line at 845-651-1110, or Sandy has been very gracious to offer her own private cell number. For anyone who feels that they need to speak to Sandy, have any questions that they don't want to talk to bring out on the air. So I'm going to give you her number. It is 845-399-6845. 399-6845, and that is Sandy Cassesi's personal cell phone number. So thank you very much, Sandy, for offering that. You know, it just goes to really reiterate how important this care that we provide is important to, I think, every single staff member that we have as part of our team, for you to put out your cell number. And speaking of that, the clinical staff that's out there on the road today, in a day like today.
So pretty amazing, right? We do provide care around the clock, 365 days a year, no matter what. So, you know, it's almost the equivalent sometimes of what I would call frontier nursing, and I include my other disciplines in that, spiritual care and social work. So they're traversing the back roads, you know, whether it's snowing, raining, day, night, weekend, evening, holiday, and that's unusual for a hospice. Most hospices generally operate, you know, Monday through Friday, kind of a 9-to-5 type atmosphere. We made a decision a couple of years ago, well, 3 years ago when I first came to hospice, that it was really important for us to expand the hours of service that we provide to people in our community. We receive family satisfaction surveys, and the one comment that we scored fine on, but I saw opportunity for improvement, was around, do you feel that you received the proper amount of help that you needed on weekends, evenings, and holidays? So we set out to make sure that we expanded our services. And so that has really been fruitful. So on our weekends, we have a call center that's operated by a registered nurse who takes all of the phone calls that come into our answering service and makes sure that they are handled by the staff that's on that weekend who are out and about in the community. So that could be a registered nurse, LPN, hospice aide, spiritual care, or a social worker. And so we've been able to really make sure that we truly are there for people around the clock. And that has borne fruit. We were actually named in the top 20% in the country for family satisfaction for the past 2 years. And I have to believe it's because of some of these important changes that we've made.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The changes that have been made really have really upped our game, so to speak, in really what we're able to provide for the families. Because like you mentioned before, every family, every situation, every patient, their needs are different. And you have to have a team, and you have to have contingency plans laid out to certainly be able to address each situation as it comes. And
yeah,
that's, I think, what we've been able to do very, very well.
Janice, I neglected to mention one of the most important parts of our team, our volunteers. So even during the COVID crisis, our volunteers have kept busy. Sometimes it's from afar, but we've had people who've made grocery deliveries. We have had people who've read books to people. We have had people who have run errands, that sort of thing. And they're just an incredible component of the whole hospice family. They're itching to get back to work, in quotation marks.
They are
full time. You know, obviously we've had some restrictions with COVID, but we are beginning to see the light at the end of the tunnel. As you know, many of our staff have been vaccinated.
Yes.
In fact, many of us have received the second vaccine at this point in time, and we really look forward to the coming months when we're able to fully get back into to our previous routine. But honestly, along the way, we've learned a lot of really important lessons. In some regards, telemedicine, telehealth, our ability to do virtual visits has been really well received by patients and families. It's instant gratification, right? So if you're having an issue and you want to talk to your nurse, and your nurse can talk to you via FaceTime or Zoom or whatever platform that you're using, families and patients have responded really well to that. And, you know, listen, is life ever going to be exactly the same before, you know, as it was before COVID? Probably not, but I have to think we've learned some important lessons, not the least of which is have conversations with your family about what is most important to you. Were something, you know, to if you were to face a life-threatening illness, what are your wishes? What are your wants? And have those conversations. We know for a fact that that's happening more and more. But if you are listening to me, this is one of the most important things that you can do as a family. If you go to our website, hospiceoforange.com, there's an area that will help you. It's called Five Wishes, and it'll help you to spark that conversation. But, of course, we are always available to help you with that.
Yes, absolutely. And that you could find on our community resource page. Right on the menu on the left-hand side, you will see resources, community resources. And as Sandy said, you click in there and you get to our resource page, and it really does give you enough information to really be able to have that conversation. And I believe, and we know that it has during this past year of COVID, that more and more people are really starting to understand that the conversation needs to be made, because we never know at any time when something can change with a loved one in their health, and and we could be put into a crisis, that we need to make a decision that's best for them. But we need to know what it is that they wanted, what their wishes were. And this is something we've always known, but now I think a lot more of our communities and in our society, they know this. And so, you know, we are able to help them by providing these resources, I'm sorry, to help them to just even ask that question of their loved one.
So, Janice, you mentioned that we're beginning our 33rd year providing this service to people in our community. You know, 2020 turned out to be an incredible year for us at Hospice of Orange and Sullivan Counties, largely because we were able to serve the largest number of patients ever in our then 32-year history.
Yes.
And so people know hospice is not only provided in your home. That's where the majority of our care is provided. But, you know, home has different connotations, right? So your home could be a nursing home. And, yes, we provide care in nursing homes. It could be a group home, adult living facility. It could be our Kaplan Family Residence, which is located in Newburgh. It's an 11-bed facility for those at the end of life. So home can be wherever it is that you are. And we're very respectful of that, right? We're the guests, if you will, when we enter your home. But 1,310 patients entrusted us with their care in 2020. And, you know, as a not-for-profit, we do struggle. You know, this is the way that the hospice benefit is structured. We get a finite amount of money for care for every single day that a patient is on the program. And it has to include everything. It includes the salaries for staff. It includes medications, any equipment that's needed in the home. And so, you know, I don't want to belabor this, but we really just barely make even at the end of all of this. And so we do rely upon our friends in the community to help support us. And I have to say,
they do.
It's been amazing to me.
Yeah.
Yesterday I was in the office and we received a very lovely check from someone who had services in our program. Their family member had services with us. And attached to that check was a handwritten note that really struck me. It was so specific about, you know, very specifically what that family was able to accomplish as a result of our services. And to me, that's the essence of what we do. If we can leave our families with a lasting impression that we helped to provide that experience that they hoped for, or in some cases didn't even know was possible, then we've done our job. So, you know,
as
our listeners are thinking about, you know, the support that they can give to our community, there's a few different ways. If you want to volunteer, we are always accepting applications for voluneers.
Yes. If and Sandy, I just want to say we need to wrap up soon.
Okay.
So, just certainly let people know through volunteering, absolutely.
And we're hiring. So if you go to our website, and that's because we've expanded so much over the past year. We just have had, you know, tremendous response to the program. So hospiceoforange.com. Please don't hesitate to call us if you have questions. And Janice, this has been an important program. Thank you.
It has. Thank you very, very much. And again, as Sandy said, hospiceoforange.com, or you can call us at 845-561-6111, and you can find out anything you need about all of our services, including, of course, our bereavement support groups that we have for the community. Thank you so much, and remember, there are no mistakes in life, only lessons to be learned. Let us learn well together. Bye-bye.